Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Here in Central Florida, it's morning, July the 6th, 2015, just coming out of the Independence Day holiday here in the United States of America, and we hope that all of you in the United States had a safe holiday weekend. We understand that many of you are still enjoying it, so we're glad that you're here with us and glad to welcome you back to the Fresh Daily Show, brought to you by Fresh Daily Co., Gourmet Coffee, and Skateboards, FreshDailyCo.com. I'm Jeffrey Dardy. You know me as a Christian whistleblower. This show, the Fresh Daily Show, is basically a bite-sized version of the Christian Whistleblower Show, which airs every Wednesday night for 2 hours on another network, as they say. And we encourage you to go and check out all of those shows and listen to those in their entirety, because we are, well, we're a number of months behind on this show, which is good because it gives us a chance to review and it gives us a chance to bring out new information that has been discovered since the original airing of the programs. And, you know, some of you don't know all that much about me and who I am. Well, basically our show is a so long or a goodbye to Plastic Jesus. That's my little catchphrase name for the substitute, for the counterfeit of the man from Nazareth, whose name was actually Yeshua, that has been created by Pauline religion. What we do, simply put, is to expose the lies, the hypocrisy, the fear, and the error of Roman Pauline religion. And on the positive aspect as well, it is our aim to restore the good news of the gospel. I guess you could say we're saving Jesus or saving Yeshua from Christianity, and well, you'd be right. We do offer hard-hitting research, and we try to throw in a healthy dash of humor, and that really characterizes what we do. And it's all based on over 30 years of research, work, and living within these worlds of myself, Jeffrey Dardy, a Bible college graduate and former 20-year Protestant minister. We have a lot of ways, including these broadcasts, to help you. We have several cutting-edge books. We have a lot of radio that you can listen to. I was featured on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. That interview is available for you to hear. And we also offer many spiritual technologies and healing modalities. We're in the final stages of planning a national tour here in the United States. We'd love to do so overseas as well. We'll see what happens as far as that goes. And basically what we're talking about is the fact that we need to wake up because the Matrix has us. We are slaves in a prison for our mind. We follow the white rabbit down the hole, and we will never be the same. And what we're really here for is to expose the lies of big-time religion and proclaim the liberating message of Yeshua and the true nature of the kingdom of God. Religion says you're born with original sin, but Jesus, Yeshua, said that you have the kingdom of God within. And that's really what we're here to talk about. That's really what we're here to do. We invite you to visit our website at jeffreydardy.com and also christianwhistleblower.com. Some great new things there under the new tab, the Simple Chakra Mantra audio file. This is yours for any donation. We also have new audiobook versions of Apostle Paul Antichrist and Diamond New Testament, my two books. You can find those there. And you can also get the Apostle Paul fact sheet. It's a rather handsome PDF that's also yours, free for the asking. And, you know, people wonder, you know, what in the world do I do? Well, we do this radio. We do write the books. We also offer different spiritual technologies like EFT or Emotional Freedom Technique. I think it's the most elegant and effective healing technique available. It's also tremendously therapeutic for emotional, mental, and spiritual issues. We do this in person and, of course, over telephone and Skype. We offer spiritual guidance and counseling, both in person and virtually. Exorcism and entity cleansing. I've been proficient at this for over 30 years. A practical exorcism and entity cleansing. Do that both personally and virtually as well. Past life regressions. Sometimes knowing where and who you are is necessary to facilitate who you want to be. Knowing whom you were to find out who you are. Palmistry, tarot, and numerology. We use those to help give you a baseline of where you are and a supplement to your decision-making process, a subtle self-defense system, and, of course, personal appearances as well. All of these things and more, including the Religion Watch Daily. And we invite you to hit the Contact Us tab on the website and submit your own items for Religion Watch Daily. Interesting things today. Morgan Freeman asks, if aliens exist, do they worship God? I'm fascinated by that concept, and it kind of shows the ethnocentric, or maybe xenocentric, if we're talking about aliens, a mindset of humanity. It's an interesting read. Christian couples file for divorce en masse to defy gay marriage ban. Gay marriage ruling, I'm sorry. Christian couples file for divorce en masse to defy gay marriage ruling. And my first response was a big yawn because, over half of them were going to file for divorce eventually anyway. Statistically speaking, in the church, over half of the marriages do end in divorce. So I kind of thought that was a tempest in a teapot for certain. There's another story about Allah's wrath. Over 1,100 Muslims fall over dead in Pakistan because of a heat wave. We certainly send out our regards to those folks that have been victims and to their families. The Pope declares hell's a myth, stands at odds with the concept of a loving God. I'd like to get some confirmation on that, but it's certainly a very, very interesting concept as well. But you know, we've been talking here on the Christian Whistleblower Show and on the Fresh Daily Show, and we left off last week discussing how the New Testament had been altered. And we talked about how last week how the New Testament actually did begin. We talked about the fact that it's been offered to you completely and totally out of order. And what we found out is that the first book was really the book of James. It was not the book of Matthew. And James was written because a program of preaching and teaching was going on, both in Jerusalem by the original disciples of Yeshua, and in Antioch by Paul. And they were competing groups, teaching competing doctrines, two religions, really, if you would. And James, after multiple attempts to reach out to Paul and bring him into the household of faith, felt that he had no alternative but to go ahead and put paper, pen to paper, as it were, and begin writing and warning and letting us all know about what was going on in Antioch and what was going on with Paul. And of course, James wrote that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We looked at how a man that is a Roman Jew with connections to the temple and Caesar would certainly be a two-souled man with divided interests, as the original Greek text tells us there. And we also saw that James gave a scathing rebuke of the Pauline doctrine of original sin. Of course, original sin being the fact that the purported fact by Roman followers of Roman Christianity that all men, all women are inherently born sinful due to the sin, the original sin, if you will, of Adam and Eve, if you will, in the Garden of Eden, if you will. And James told us right in the very first chapter that he wrote, within the first 20 verses, that that is a nonsensical and diabolical teaching, and that man is actually born with the spark of divinity within. So within the first 20 verses of James, you see the two main, one of the main tenets of Paul cut from underneath him, that being original sin, and you see Paul identified as a double-minded man or a two-souled man who's unstable in all his ways. And James, as it were, is just getting started. In James chapter 2 and verse number 6, as I turn in my Dake's Annotated Reference Bible, I know we're heard all over the world, and I just wonder if the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible really ever went past the United States. I think it's mainly just a U.S. thing. It was a great and popular Bible within the Pentecostal realms that I was in, and it was actually very convenient because it had Greek and Hebrew in it. It had a concordance in it, so it was actually quite helpful. In James chapter 2, verse number 6, we continue to see the replete reasons why James was directing this first book, which again was the very first written words of the New Testament delivered to the church. In James 2:6, he says, "But you are despising the poor. Is it not the rich men that are oppressing you and drawing you before the judgment?" So, was it not rich Paul? And people say, well, how do you know Paul was rich? Well, Paul was actually the heir to the Halliburton of the day, the greatest, largest, biggest, or at least one of the large and big defense contractors to the Roman army, was owned by Paul's parents. Paul was a tent maker, and we think, oh, he was just a humble, shy tent maker. And that's the way it's pitched in the Pauline writings. But they were actually supplier of tents to the Roman army. So Paul was the Halliburton of the day. He was as rich as they come. He was the Dick Cheney of the day, as you will. And James draws a reference to this by saying, don't rich men oppress you. Knowing that Paul was very rich, knowing that Paul was the man identified in the Gospels, or would be identified, of course, the Gospels were to come many years later after the writing of the book of James. And, you know, again, you hear me fall back into the mindset, Paul is called the rich young ruler in the Gospels, and just because we're in the book of James, we automatically think that the Gospels came first. But you know, the book of James was written in A.D. 47. The first Gospel written was the Gospel of Mark, and it didn't come for 10 years after the Gospel of James. But, of course, James was there when Yeshua taught the lessons contained within the Gospels, and Yeshua did call Paul the rich young ruler. It was Paul who was the rich young ruler who came to Yeshua and said, "Hey, what do I do to inherit eternal life?" Of course, Yeshua said, "Keep the commandments." This rich young ruler said, "Well, I've done that since my youth." Of course, Yeshua knew that. And he said to him, "Well, then, there's only one thing that you lack. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me." Now, it's my opinion, and I don't have many opinions regarding these subjects that I can't validate scripturally. I can't point to, you know, chapter and verse. This is one that I can't really nail down with a chapter and a verse other than this chapter and verse. And, you know, actually, in a new book we've got coming out, there's quite a lot of, I guess you would call it, circumstantial evidence. But at any rate, I have the distinct belief that Yeshua was legitimately, really, truly offering Paul, this rich young ruler who was actually Saul of Tarsus at that time, if you will, he was actually offering him a seat at the apostolic table, if you will. Yeshua was offering Paul apostolic offer. He was saying, "Come be an apostle of mine." When he said, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me," that's exactly what he meant. He really offered Paul the chance to be one of the apostles of Yeshua. And of course, knowing at that time, did Yeshua, that Judas would eventually betray him and fall away from the apostolic number, perhaps it was indeed Yeshua's highest and original desire that Paul be one of the apostles. Of course, he wasn't. He did not meet the apostolic requirements. The names of the 12 apostles written on the foundations of the New Jerusalem, whatever that is or will be, does not include the name of Paul. Paul is not an apostle, but I believe he was given the opportunity to be one, and the offer was made from Yeshua. And this might go a long way to explain Paul's attitude of entitlement to the apostleship. It may go a long way to explain why Paul thought he was an apostle, said he was an apostle, taught he was an apostle, claimed he was an apostle, wrote he was an apostle, when no one else in all of Scripture ever called Paul an apostle. Well, except in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, where he's called a false apostle. But Paul seemed so convinced, so maniacally convinced that he was an apostle. And I believe it stems back to this place where Yeshua offered it to him. He did not receive it. And he leveraged that at least to say, "Hey, well, Yeshua offered me the apostleship, so obviously I'm worthy." Or he was just that delusional that he thought, "Well, you know what, if Yeshua offered it to me, then I'm going to go ahead and keep it as my own," when in fact it really wasn't his own. But at any rate, he was indeed a very rich man. James reminds people that rich men are oppressing them. And when you think about oppressing them, they were also bringing them before the judgment seats. And was it not Paul, was it not Saul, who was, in the words of the New Testament, was wreaking havoc on the church, terrorizing the church, dragging believers before what? Before the judgment seats. The Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, did exactly what James was saying here. He drug believers before the judgment seats. He drugged them before the leaders of the synagogue. He drugged them before the governmental leaders, had them flogged, had their houses burned, and in his, to his own words, his own confession, murdered many people who were believers. So James says, a rich man oppresses you and draws you before judgment seats. And Paul was a rich man, pressing them and drawing them before judgment seats. It's very, very clear to anyone who is an objective researcher that James is very specifically calling out Paul. It's a perfect and complete picture of what he was writing about, because he was writing about Paul. Paul was the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. Paul was the rich young ruler who served as the foil for the Good Samaritan parable. And, you know, we can talk about that as well in the future, because there's a great hidden message there in the message of the Good Samaritan as relates to Paul himself and as relates to Yeshua. I want to just make a highlight here on my notes, because that is something that has just come to me in even greater detail, and I do want to make sure that we take a look at that. And it's interesting, as many times I've read the Bible, probably close to 200 times cover to cover, and still you go through and things, man, they hop out to you. And I do believe Yeshua offered him a genuine apostleship. I do believe it helps explain Paul's attitude, and even explains more about the Damascus Road fable. And we'll be talking about that, Paul's conversion or so-called conversion. And James continues on, and he writes in the third chapter of James, verse number 13, and he says this, James 3:13, who's a wise man and endued with wisdom among you? Let him show out of his mouth good works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom is about the opposite thing of how you could describe Paul. He was very arrogant. Even said that when I went to Jerusalem, the apostles could not add one thing to me. Think of the unmitigated arrogance of that statement. Here's 12 guys that were with Yeshua every moment that he was on earth. Here's 12 guys that were taught daily, 24/7, 365 times 3, what is that anyway? Let's say he was here for 3.5 years. Let's do a little quick math. I'm a Bible college graduate, not a math major, but 365 times 3.5 is 1,277.5. So they spent 1,277.5 days in the exclusive 24/7, and Paul could not find even one thing that he could learn from those men. Not one thing that he could learn from those men, and men that spent over 30,000 hours in the direct company of Yeshua. And Paul said, they couldn't add one thing to me. That is the opposite of meekness. That is the opposite of wisdom. And that makes Paul the opposite of a wise man. And also, if you look in verse number 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory about it, and don't lie against the truth. This type of wisdom doesn't come from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. And for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That's a 100% rebuke of Paul and his ways, Paul create bitter envy. He had bitter envy against the apostles. He tried to start a new work and was very actually successful at it. He created strife within the early church, and he lied against the truth. He created a doctrine that was 100% against the truth, and his wisdom, it did not come from above, but it was earthly, it was sensual, it was devilish, and his envy, his strife, his confusion, they were all evil works as described by James. And if you look at verse 17, the wisdom from above, pure, peaceful, gentle, not argumentative, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That describes perfectly the teachings of Yeshua. It describes perfectly the teachings of his apostles. And it's really the antithesis of the teachings of Paul and his personality, his mindset. And it's very, very consistent with the Lord. The Lord is arrogant, rambunctious, self-promoting, killing, maiming, raging. And Paul was all of these things. He was the opposite of pure. He was the opposite of peaceable. He was the opposite of gentle. He was not easily entreated. He wasn't full of mercy. He wasn't without partiality. He wasn't without hypocrisy. James just goes out of his way to identify Paul as an adversary. And there's no way that we can see it any other way if we're looking at it with an objective mind frame, with an objective, scholarly, and dispassionate view. And that's all I'm trying to get you to see, is that there is another story that needs to be told. There is two different things going on here. James chapter 4, verse number 4, James says these words, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Well, in the world to which James was writing, there was two main powers of the world: Judaism, the temple, in Rome. And Paul was friends with both. Paul was dear, tight friends with both. Paul was a friend of the world, an enemy of God. And tomorrow we'll see how Paul responds to being called out by the Apostle James. Until then, we welcome you to visit the website, welcome you to visit some of the other writings and teachings that we have. And until tomorrow, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, wishing you peace and enlightenment.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.